Our loving Heavenly Father, we confess that we are not always the spiritual people that we want to be, that we are too often not spiritually minded, and do not walk with our eyes on Christ, and that we are taken up with worldly things. Oh Lord, please, by the power of your grace, change our hearts tonight. Make us a holy people, pleasing in your sight. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please, let me invite you to have our passage in Mark and chapter 6 open in front of you, as we consider this wonderful miracle together tonight. And as we come to this next passage in Mark, the words of that classic hymn by William Cowper come to mind. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And I wonder if Cowper had our passage of scripture in mind as he was composing that hymn. Because what the scripture records, what Mark tells us, well, the Lord Jesus appears to work in a very mysterious way. And the disciples certainly are rather baffled and confused for much of this story. If you remember what we saw last week, the Lord Jesus had just performed the most amazing miracle, feeding over 5,000 people with only a few loaves and fishes. And as we saw, a miracle that in its stupendous power clearly revealed him to be Israel's God, come himself personally to care for his people, the good shepherd who makes his people lie down in green pastures. Remember that wonderful little detail Mark included, that the people sat down on the green grass. The Lord directly fulfilling those promises of the Old Testament. Yet if you look at verse 52, we're told the disciples did not understand. No one did. Despite this amazing miracle, they just still did not understand who the Lord Jesus truly was. Mark is telling us there in verse 52 that everything that happens next, this next miracle of the Lord walking on water, is because the disciples did not understand. The Lord sends the crowds and the disciples away after the feeding of the 5,000. It says he made the disciples go away immediately. And actually, in the Greek, it's more forceful than that. He forcefully orders them away. He drives them away. He pushes them away. And it says immediately, straight after the miracle. Now, it's not what you'd expect, is it? Not what the disciples would have expected. After such a great miracle, surely there'd have been time then for celebration or more preaching, or, as John tells us, the crowd were even eager to go ahead and make the Lord king and maybe march on Jerusalem. But immediately and forcefully, he sends them away and he goes up on a mountain to pray. So the first mystery, if you like, is why? What's going on? And then further mysteries. After they've left, the Lord sees them from the mountaintop. And suddenly he catches up to them, walking on the sea. Now, why send them away only then to appear, and to appear in such a way, such a remarkable way? How is it possible that he's walking on water? Now, I've got to say that when you read some of the unbelieving scholarship about this, it is quite frankly hilarious. In trying to explain away the miracle, some have said, well, he was just walking along the shore, and a strange trick of the light fooled the disciples. Or even, you know, he was walking on a mud or a sea, a sandbank just under the water. But any attempt to explain away this miracle is ridiculous. He was walking on the sea. Again, why? What's going on? And then Mark gives us another mystery. It says he was going to pass them by. Now, what on earth does that mean? Was the Lord Jesus ignoring them? Is he just going around them? He's going to meet them on the other side? Well, how strange and mysterious is that? Some have speculated that what the Lord Jesus was doing was testing their faith. A very popular way of interpreting this story down through the centuries has been to turn it into an allegory and to say that the ship is a church and the waves are the struggles of life, and sometimes the Lord is far away and he's testing our faith, but then he will suddenly come to the church again and a time of revival and the Lord will lift us up. But it doesn't say that in the scripture. This is not an allegory. And the main focus here is on the Lord Jesus, not us. It's who he is, what he does. But it does say, again, literally, that Jesus was willing to pass them by. Our English translation is perhaps maybe not 100% the best, but he was willing to pass them by, minded to pass them by. Again, why? What's going on? It's mysterious. And then you've got his mysterious greeting. It's somewhere about 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark and strong winds, and the disciples are terrified. They think he's a ghost, some kind of spirit from the deep. And the Lord says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And again, as some have wrestled with how to understand this, they've said, well, Jesus is just saying hello. He's just greeting the disciples. Don't worry, it's me. Is that really all that Jesus is saying? What's going on? So this is a mysterious incident. The answer, the true meaning of this passage, is glorious. It's glorious. What's really going on here, what this is all about, is that the Lord Jesus is revealing himself by word and by deed to be God, the living God, the one and the only. By his words and his actions, the Lord Jesus is revealing he is the great I am. The living and eternal God come in the flesh. That's what this passage is telling us. You could even say this incident is a theophany. God revealing himself to man. God manifesting his divine power and glory. It's the mystery of who God is revealed to us, so that we might know him and love him and worship him. This is God coming to man, and everything about this is significant. Every detail here is telling us something about this divine human encounter. And there are surely lots of helpful applications where we can talk about the Lord Jesus coming to us in our troubles. But don't miss what the real main point is. God is declaring in this scripture, Jesus is the Lord. Now, the key to understanding, to correctly interpreting this passage, is, as with everything in Mark, to turn to the scriptures of the Old Testament. They're going to give us the true meaning and significance of these events and words. And again, as I've been growing and learning more about Mark, it's perhaps this the most underappreciated gospel. You see, people seem to think that Mark's the simple gospel, the straightforward gospel. He's not got the profound. I think that's actually completely wrong. Mark is so profound. It's so deep. The Lord is so clearly revealing himself. Because you don't have to search very far to find in the Old Testament the same words, the same miracle, walking on water, ascribed to God himself. For example, the book of Job is about the mystery of suffering. How or why does a good and loving God allow his people to suffer? And as Job is searching for God, He says in chapter 9, verse 8, about the Lord, he alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. And then he carries on that thought in verse 11. And if he passes by me, I do not see him. So Job he's contemplating the mystery of God, and he's describing God's unique sovereign power, glory, majesty over all things. And a way of describing that is that God alone walks on the sea. God alone could have such a power. And he's saying God is so great. It's as if he's all around me, passing by me, but I am so blind, I don't see it. Wow, doesn't that fit? What's going on in Mark? The disciples don't see it. Later on in the book, in chapter 38, God echoes Job's own words back to him and agrees and says to Job, who else but God can walk on the sea? We've just sung in Psalm 77. In verse 19, it says about the Lord, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. Now that's a psalm reflecting on the miracle of the Red Sea. How the Lord parted the sea in order to save Moses and Israel. And again, it gives us a new insight into that miracle. It describes the Lord walking with his people, going before them to make that path. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. But notice too, it's got this emphasis on mystery. Footsteps are not known, not seen. How does God do this? How does God have the power to make a path in the sea? It's beyond human comprehension. Only God could do something like this. And then Isaiah joins the chorus. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 16, he too reflects on the crossing of the Red Sea. And he says, only God makes a path in the sea. Again, there's rich imagery here, going back to the floods of Noah, the separating of the waters at creation so dry land appears. The Lord alone can do such things. The Creator God, the All Supreme. What's the Lord Jesus teaching these hard-hearted disciples who were so blind? They didn't get it when he made bread come from heaven. Well, because of that, he comes again and he walks on the water. The Lord God. And so too with the mystery of the Lord passing by. Again, when we encounter something like that in the Bible that doesn't seem to make sense, we must learn that the answer is to search the scriptures. When Israel sinned at the golden calf, close by to the passage we heard in Exodus 34, you remember that the Lord is so provoked, he's so angry, he's ready to destroy Israel and begin again with Moses. But Moses goes up the mountaintop and he prays and he intercedes, and the Lord relents and forgives, as was always the Lord's plan. He was teaching us through all of it. But Moses then asks to know God. Show me your glory, Lord. I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. And the Lord manifests his presence. We can only imagine some kind of glorious light and fire. And the Lord speaks his divine name, the Lord, the I Am, rich in mercy, slow to anger. And he shelters Moses in the cleft of the rock. And what does the scripture say? And he passes by Moses. He passes by. Just as the Lord passed over his people in Egypt at Passover, passing by so that they don't share in the condemnation of the world, but in mercy passing over them because of the blood of the Lamb. So he passes by Moses and guilty Israel at that moment, passing by in grace, again overlooking their sin. God passing by is God saying, this is an act of mercy. I save, I forgive. Same thing happens when Elijah goes to Mount Sinai. People of Israel, again, have turned from God. They've apostatized under King Ahab. And Elijah goes, following in Moses' footsteps, to pray and to intercede. And the divine presence comes. And what does the scripture say in Kings? The Lord passes by Elijah. And a word of mercy is given. That again, God will preserve his people and save them. Him passing by is God saying, I forgive, I'm merciful. Now, John's gospel tells us clearly that the feeding of the 5,000 took place at Passover, the festival of the Jews, remembering all of this. And just as God passed through Egypt, now do you see what's happening? The Lord Jesus is passing through again. The Lord God is once again showing he's going to pass by his people. He's going to save them. He's going to come with mercy. The Lord Jesus is saying he is the true, the ultimate Passover, where God shows mercy and forgives. Why does the Lord Jesus send them away and go up the mountain to pray? Because he's interceding for them. Like Moses, the disciples and the people need mercy. They've eaten the bread of the Lord and they still don't believe. They're guilty of unbelief, like Israel in the wilderness. Remember, we saw last week the disciples were grumbling, just like the Israelites. They're so guilty before God. And the Lord Jesus goes up the mountain to pray for them. He's interceding for them, for forgiveness. And then he's passing by as a sign of mercy and grace that's given to us through him. And when he appears on the lake, those precious words he greets them with, "Be of good cheer, it is I." You might know that more literally, in the Greek it's, "I am." Be of good cheer, I am. Do not be afraid. It's the same way that God revealed himself on Sinai. I am who I am. And the Lord Jesus is telling them explicitly, directly, he is the great I am. That's why they should not be afraid. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of mercy, their faithful, covenant-keeping God of forgiveness and love. That's the meaning of it all, the lake, the words, the sending away. In Jesus, God is revealing himself, coming to us personally, to pass us by in mercy, to save us and forgive us. That's the divine revelation on the lake. Jesus is God passing us by in mercy. Like the feeding of the 5,000, this is a unique sign that only God can perform. It shows us the glorious, unique identity of Christ. The Lord Jesus is once again very literally fulfilling the words of the Old Testament to show us who he is. Hearts so hard, they've not understood the feeding of the 5,000, so this even greater miracle. You remember the last time they were in a boat, in a storm, and they'd cried out, "Who is this who even controls the wind and the waves? Who is this?" Well, here is the Lord's answer. The Lord Jesus is no mere human being. He's not a mere prophet or teacher. He's not even just an angelic being or the highest created being, like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses might say. He is the Almighty, the Lord God, in a class of his own, with all power and glory over all creation. But in Christ, God has come to show us mercy and to pass by us. So what do we say to these things? Well, the only right response is to glory in this mystery, to rejoice and to worship the greatness of our God. We confess happily that the Lord is mysterious, far above us, beyond our feeble understanding. He's a Lord so great we can never fully comprehend him. The very fact that this is so mysterious, that he can walk on water, suspending the laws of nature, existing above and beyond them, is what proves he is indeed God. Because we don't understand it. And we shouldn't be frightened by mystery, that there's much we cannot explain, that we do not understand. God is mysterious because he is God. Ineffable. Not limited by creation, above it. As Augustine said, one of my favorite quotes, If you think you understand God, it is not God you understand. We can only know him as he graciously comes to us. And praise God that he has so condescended to reveal himself. And you know those wonderful words of Calvin, to paraphrase, like you might kneel down and gurgle at a baby, so God in his kindness comes to us. Even to the point that God the Son becomes a man. What love is this? To ponder what it means that the Son of God became man and walked among us. We cannot get our minds around such a mystery. How is God also man, Jesus Christ? One divine person, fully God and fully man. It is a mystery. But we rejoice and we worship. There's so much about our lives, how the Lord deals with us, how he teaches us like the disciples and providentially guides us, that is mysterious. Sometimes it looks like he sends us away or into the wind. But we can be sure, although we do not know why, that it is for a good purpose. We know it is for our good. And so what I mean is do not have a small concept or understanding of God. God is so mysterious because he is so great and so glorious above us. And let's rejoice in that. And indeed that he's come down to us. What I'm saying is we're told the disciples were amazed and they marveled. Did they fully understand yet? They'd still not begun to really grasp the mystery of his glory. But they did the right thing in being filled with awe. And do we fully understand God? Of course not. And we never will. But we can worship with awe. And isn't that an encouragement when you might say, there's so much I don't understand? Well, the longer we go on as Christians, the more we realize there's even more we didn't understand. But we can worship with awe. So great and glorious a God. And we should rejoice and we should glory in this great grace of God. That the heart of this revelation, God's mercy, sinful Israel rebelling against the Lord, and he passes by. Faithful to his covenant to save and to pardon his people when they sin. The disciples failing to believe, so hard-hearted. But the Lord passes them by, not judging, but not revealing his anger, but passing by in grace. And this is the gospel. If we are the people of Christ, it's mysterious, but if you believe in him and you call on his name, he passes by. He passes by your sin. He turns a blind eye to it. Because when Christ bore it on the cross, God did not pass by. But as the true Lamb of God, he was subjected to the wrath and the punishment of God so that God in love could pass over you. And so our Lord Jesus is God himself, personally come to pass us by in mercy, to save us and forgive us. That's this revelation on the lake. Theologians and philosophers like to talk about the hidden God. And they ask, how can we know God? People go through life wondering, well, where is God? Why doesn't God appear and reveal himself? And people wonder about the mystery of God. Well, the glorious answer is right here. Here is God. He's revealed himself. The I am God with us, Jesus Christ. And if you feel the guilt of your sins tonight, hear these good words of the Lord to your soul. Be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. I am the same faithful, merciful, covenant-keeping God. If like the disciples, you've failed and maybe you're afraid that God's just going to send you away. He's done with you. He's fed up with you. He's tired of you. Do not believe it. Look at this. and see that he's come to you in Christ to pass by those things. So believe it with awe, the great mystery that God has loved us so much. Worship him. Let us pray. Our great Lord and Saviour, we humbly bow before you. For you, O Lord, fill heaven and earth. Your ways are beyond our searching out. But Lord, you have in love presenced yourself to us and come among us. But not to come in judgment, but to come in mercy and to save us. And so, Lord, we call upon this holy name of Jesus Christ tonight and pray that you would pass by us, that your mercy would cover us, for we are sinners and we have often failed to believe. But we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see this wondrous revelation in the scripture and to hear this good news, telling us to take heart and not be afraid. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you for passing by our sins, because you did not pass by them at Calvary. Lord, we rejoice and we worship in the great mystery of your glory. And we thank you, O Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us.